Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 53 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It is a joy to be with you again on this new day, to get back into the scripture, and to keep building on this holy habit of reading the Bible in a year and finding God in God's word so that we might be changed. Today, we are reading from Joshua chapters 4 through 7, Psalm 53, and Proverb 22. I'll be reading from the web translation of the Bible. That's the World English Bible. But you are welcome to read from any translation that you are comfortable with or have on hand. If you need the Bible in a Year reading plan, you can click the link that's in the show notes, and you'll be brought to a page where you can download that PDF, print it, or just keep it with you. I also wanted to celebrate a little bit with you today. I posted yesterday on the Facebook page, Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve, that we have reached over 2,000 listens on the podcast platforms. We have reached 4 continents and 13 countries. The top 3 listeners, in fact, are from the USA, Canada, and Belgium. I'd like to invite you to join that Facebook page. Also, if you click that link, it'll bring you to a spot where you can do that. This way that we can share with one another our insights, our questions, and generally just be a community with each other to celebrate such things as spreading God's word across the globe for God's glory. Well, friends, without further ado, let us jump right into God's word together. Joshua chapter 4. When all the nation had completely crossed over the Jordan, Yahweh spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take 12 men out of the people, a man out of every tribe, and command them, saying, take from out of the middle of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you'll camp tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, a man out of every tribe. Joshua said to them, "Cross before the ark of Yahweh your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you pick up a stone and put it on your shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask in the future, saying, 'What do you mean by these stones?' then you shall tell them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of Yahweh's covenant. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever.'" The children of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, as Yahweh spoke to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. They carried them over with them to the place where they camped and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests who bore the ark stood in the middle of the Jordan until everything was finished that Yahweh commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses commanded. Joshua and the people hurried and passed over. When all the people had completely crossed over, Yahweh's ark crossed over with the priests in the presence of the people. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spoke to them. About 40,000 men, ready and armed for war, passed over before Yahweh to battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day, Yahweh magnified Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they feared him, as they feared Moses, all the days of his life. Yahweh spoke to Joshua, saying, "Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant that they come out of the Jordan." Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come up out of the Jordan." When the priests who bore the Ark of Yahweh's Covenant had come up out of the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet had lifted up to the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went over all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, on the east border of Jericho. Joshua set up those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan in Gilgal. He spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. For Yahweh your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as Yahweh your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we had crossed over. That all the people of the earth may know that Yahweh's hand is mighty, and that you may fear Yahweh your God forever. Joshua chapter 5. When the kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, who were by the sea, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, their heart melted, and there was no more spirit in them because of the children of Israel. At that time, Yahweh said to Joshua, Make flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. This is the reason Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, even the men of war who came out of Egypt, were consumed because they didn't listen to Yahweh's voice. Yahweh swore to them that he wouldn't let them see the land which Yahweh swore to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children, whom he raised up in their place, were circumcised by Joshua, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them on the way. When they were done circumcising the whole nation, they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed. Yahweh said to Joshua, Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of this place was called Gilgal to this day. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening in the plains of Jericho. They ate unleavened cakes and parched grain of the produce of the land on the next day after the Passover in the same way. The manna ceased on the next day after they had eaten of the produce of the land. The children of Israel didn't have manna anymore, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood in front of him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us, or are you for our enemies? He said, No, but I have come now as commander of Yahweh's army. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and asked him, What does my Lord say to his servant? The prince of Yahweh's army said to Joshua, Take off your sandals, for the place on which you stand is holy. Joshua did so. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We pray that you would send forth your Holy Spirit so that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our souls, so that we might glean your truth, your wisdom, and your direction, so that we might live lives that are holy and pleasing to you this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, Joshua has done it. He has led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the promised land. And how awesome is it that along the way, God provided a means for them to remember this solemn occasion where they crossed over on dry land. Just like Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea, Joshua did the same for the Israelites now as they crossed over the Jordan River. And God instructed them to take 12 stones from the riverbed and to set them up so that it might be a memorial, so that later on when people might become complacent or kids and grandkids are born and they ask, What are those stones over there? They can share that the God of Israel saved them and brought them through the wilderness into this promised land on dry foot, just as God did for the Israelites under Moses' direction. What's great is that we see that almost immediately they celebrate the Passover together. This is another pattern for remembering what God has done for them. This is what God ordered them to do, to celebrate the Passover each year and to remember that God saved them out of the hands of oppression in Egypt. In chapter 5, God is continuing to set up the people of Israel for success. He points out that, hey, the kids that were born the generation after the ones that were not allowed into the promised land have not been circumcised. So we need to do that now so that the reproach that has been carried on their shoulders, that translated down through the generations from Egypt to where they are today, can be dealt with. So Joshua made sure that that was done. God said that, yes, the reproach has now been rolled away. The reproach that was on your shoulders from Egypt, that was passed down through the generations, has been dealt with. You are now my covenant community. This is a carrying forward of that Abrahamic promise. Remember that the covenant that God made with Abraham to make them a plentiful people where they would have a place, well, now has come to fruition as they have entered into that promised land. So now the people are part of that covenant community. So for those of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just as Jesus commanded his disciples do and be, we are initiated into the new covenant community, the life of the church. We are placed in Christ. And thanks be to God, in that sacred act, we too are forgiven of our sins. Our reproach is taken away from us. Praise be to God for that. I wanted to point out at the end of chapter 5, we see that when the people had entered the promised land and they finally started eating of the produce of the promised land, God's provision of the manna, remember that's the bread-like substance that God sustained the people with as they wandered around for 40 years. Well, that was no longer needed as they had all of the produce that they could ever dream of. Remember, this is the place flowing with milk and honey. Also, check out at the end of chapter 5 that Joshua sees this dude coming towards him with a drawn sword. And Joshua is wondering, is this guy for us or is this guy against us? So he asks that question. And we learn that this is an angel. It is the commander of God's army, God's host, that was ready to go before them, just as God promised that he would be the one to help rout the people out of the promised land for Israel so that they can have this space free of the people who were corrupt, free of those who were sacrificing their children, and free of the false gods that led people astray. So that's who this is. And notice what happens is Joshua falls on his face in reverence. And this angel said to Joshua, take off your shoes, your sandals, because the place where you're standing is holy. Now, this should sound familiar because God did this right through the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses. Well, now the angel of the Lord is there. Some have stated that this is a Christophany, or where Jesus appears before Jesus is incarnated in the New Testament. This is another time and another piece of evidence that shows Joshua to be God's favored one as replacement for Moses. He is the new leader that would help bring the people fully into the promised land. If you hadn't noticed before, Jesus' name, Yeshua, is a derivation of the Hebrew Yehoshua, which is actually the name for Joshua. And this shows this uniformity of God moving the people closer and closer to the promised land, which in fact is the full kingdom of God, not the area of Canaan, because that whole project failed too, as we'll see later on. But Jesus is the new Joshua that is ushering the people, you and me, the church, into the fullness of the new creation and the kingdom of God. How awesome is it that God's story of redemption is so uniform and is tied together so nicely. We are so blessed to have the fullness of this revelation in the book we call the Bible. So we can see all of these underpinnings and these cross references that show how God's hand has been at work since the very beginning to bring us back into right relationship with God's self, so that we might truly be humans as God intended us to be, thriving, joyful, full of peace, and that we would be brought to a place, a new Garden of Eden, so to speak, the new Jerusalem, where heaven and earth intersect fully, where there will be no more fear, no more sickness, death, oppression, injustice. All of that will be gone thanks to Jesus's work and thanks to God's covenant faithfulness, which had never ceased from the beginning. Well, friends, that's all we have for today. I hope that you enjoyed this time together in the Word. It's my hope that you will come back tomorrow and meet us all again on this platform. We're so blessed to have this platform that we can share God's word with each other and even to other places around the globe. So until tomorrow, friends, God bless.